Welcome to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show, presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. Rich Calkins, Jerry Coyne in studio with you. And JC, we had some teams that continue to march on now into the semifinals. And one of those teams is Traverse City Central. Head coach Eric Sugars joins us. Coach, congratulations on a big 42-14 win over Caledonia.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, I appreciate it. Pretty excited this morning.
Yeah, I got to imagine, Coach, that long ride back, the ups and downs, it's always better to be winners when you got a 3.5-hour bus ride.
That's right. Waking up on a Saturday morning after a Friday night victory feels pretty good, that's for sure.
Yeah, and Coach, you got both teams, of course, played in the same conditions. You guys had quite a bit of snow to deal with down there.
Yeah, I was talking to guys about that, just even driving down even prior to the game. I said, we were built for this. You know, our kids are, you know, we're the up north team, Northern Michigan kids. And, you know, we played in this before, maybe not so much this year, but a little bit last year. And, that's certainly what we wanted to do. We wanted to run the football. And we talk about in the playoffs, you got to run to win. We certainly did that last night.
Yeah, Coach, and I know you don't really like to single out individual kids as far as it's a total team effort. It is each and every week to get these victories. But, man, a kid that really jumped out on some of the highlights, I mean, Carson Bordeaux really, really had a great game last night.
Yeah, he's just a phenomenal young man, you know, a three-year starter for us and just a high-character person off the field, too. Just one of the kids you want to get the ball in his hands. And on defense, he's our quarterback. You know, he's a safety. He had an interception for us last night and then a kick return again. And he's doing it on all phases of the football game for us, but he certainly can't do it without everyone else. You know, our offensive line, like I said before, they're just a great bunch, very strong up front. And so we're just going to keep lining up behind them and not bad to snap the ball to Burnham. And you got Bordeaux and got other weapons around them. So it's just a whole team effort too. And the preparation our team does and throughout the week to prepare us to beat Caledonia. It was just, we knew we were going in there to win. That was just how we felt. And, you know, we were pretty confident going down there.
Yeah, Coach. And, I know it's always concerning when you have a long bus ride down to another, place and they have more of the quote unquote the home field advantage. You never know how your kids are going to react after that long bus ride, but it certainly seemed like your team got off the bus. They were ready to play as you guys jumped out to a 35-7 halftime lead.
Yeah. You know, that's something that our kids are used to, you know, being up here in the North and traveling. You know, our kids are used to long bus rides. We can travel, you know, they're used to doing that. And, they're a focus group and they know what our intent was to go down there. It was a business trip to go down and play a great football game. And we did that. When it started snowing and on the way down and we were looking at those conditions going, okay, here we go. Let's go have some fun. And we certainly did.
Yeah, Coach, way back in the day, I can't even tell you how old I am, but, you know, it was always the best time to play in the snow. Did the players, were they excited about getting on there? I know you had talked to them about starting fast because the field was going to deteriorate, but sometimes that's just the most fun atmosphere and conditions to play in.
I tell you what, it was almost like holding them in the locker room for a long time, you know, because it was kind of a wet, slushy snow. The last thing I wanted was to get them out there too early. So it was like they were just excited to get out in that environment and go down there in front of, you know, Ed Granville High School and against Caledonia. And, you know, we heard a lot of great things about their program and what they did, and they certainly had a great football team. And, you know, it was a challenge to our kids to go out and prove to the Grand Rapids area that, you know, our team's for real. And, you know, they showed it last night. So I'm just extremely proud again of our players and staff. Our coaches, man, just worked their butt off last week in preparation and waking up and get to do it again for next week. Sure. That's a great feeling.
It is, Coach. You certainly made Northern Michigan proud. You represented really well. And now you guys have a return trip to the semifinals, Coach, and you get to take on a team maybe a lot of people don't know about up here in Northern Michigan is a South Lyon team that won in overtime.
Yeah, you know, I woke up this morning, even, you know, on the bus ride home, in a little bit last week, you know, you hate to look ahead ever, but, you don't know who's going to win that close game. We found out last night it was South Lyon. Try to figure out who these guys are, you know, on the bus trip home. And then that's what I'm doing this morning, trying to figure out who they are, try to get some film on them, wait for the exchange and film and all that and learn about them, try to read up on these guys and, you know, prepare our team for another great week.
Coach, we're looking at the pictures in the Record Eagle, all your guys bare-armed.
Hey, you know what? That's the kind of kids we have right now. I mean, honestly, to hold them in the locker room and then they got the opportunity to go out and play in the snow, I mean, that's a dream for a high school football player.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, just the way they approached it and just the workmanlike attitude our guys have and the focus, and that's just, again, it's credit to our staff for preparing our kids that way, and you know, it's just a fun group to be around. You know, these kids are great, and they've earned everything, and they deserve this opportunity.
I guess the mullets are keeping them warm.
Hey, the mullets are working, whatever it is. So their preparation's working, but our old line jokes about the fact that hey, no undershirts today, no undershirts. So they kind of give each other a hard time, but you know, again, that's a crew that's played together and the strength of our team and. You know, we're gonna keep riding behind them, and we're enjoying that.
Yeah, Coach, sometimes it's those little things that really kind of stand out, whether the whole team's doing the mullet thing, you know, going sleeveless in a snowstorm, whatever it is, you really get to see how this team comes together. And it's, again, those little things that just kind of really stand out to you.
Yeah, and that's part of who we are, you know, it's part of the culture of our football program, you know. A lot of it's more than football. You know, we try to do things to serve our community and like invest in other people and be positive and also just kind of enjoy the moments we have, you know, practice and the grind and the weight room and everything and the preparation. There's a lot of work and effort goes into this. And these are smart young men that are students of the game as well. But you're right. The fun things you have of, you know, the haircuts and, you know, having, you know, sleeveless in a snowstorm and things like that. I mean, those are the things these guys will remember too, as long as certainly they'll remember the winning part, but those are fun times too.
Right.
Yeah, these runs to state finals are rare, and if you are fortunate enough to cap it all off, you know, it's legend. And I'm sure some of the kids are starting to think about that. So how do you bottle that back down, Coach, and just focus on South Line like you were saying? You know, you had Caledonia on the schedule. It is hard not to look ahead, and now you're facing a team you've never played before and one step away from the state championship, but you can't get hung up on that.
No, and we're not going to. I mean, they deserve our attention. They're undefeated. They haven't lost all season long. They're 12-0, and they're a great football team with some weapons, and it's reading up on them. They got some weapons and some skill, and, you know, they deserve our attention, and they're going to get it. You know, they're going to get it starting this weekend. And so that's something that our kids understand that, you know. They talked about the fact that we were in the semis last year, and we lost. You know, we don't want that feeling again. And so right now, the time is now to make the most of your opportunities, prepare well, and be focused throughout the week, and hope to play a great football game next Saturday.
Coach, any idea where that game is going to be played at?
You know, usually it's a neutral site. So between South Line and Traverse City, you know, and neutral sites, you know, you got to think maybe halfway in between there. I don't know.
It'll be Lansing or Mount Pleasant, one or the other. Yeah.
Yeah, possibly the Mount Pleasant area.
Yeah.
That's really neutral between Traverse City and South Line.
Right.
So,
yeah.
No, that would be a good trip for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the state doesn't announce that till
like
Monday morning, but you know. We're trying to figure that out right now.
Maybe Bally Sports will put that game on the tube.
Right.
Hey, I tell you what, we're telling our kids, it doesn't matter where we play. You know, we'll be ready. We're going to show up and play them. Now we know who our opponent is, and so we'll be prepared to play anywhere.
Well, especially with that, like you've been keep referencing, Coach, to be able to have an offensive line that has been that experienced and that dominant, I mean, you got to feel good about whoever your opponent is.
Yeah, we do. We do. And with this bunch, you know, I spoke about before the seniors of this group, and that we're senior led and, you know, player led, and the guys have bought in, and just the whole process too. You know, everybody on our team, from the guys that show up every day to practice for a scout offense, scout defense, you know, it's a whole team kind of pushing forward to keep making strides and trying to take the next step here.
Right, Coach. And a good offensive line, that proves you can play in all weather with a good offensive line.
Yeah, that was a big feeling, you know, walking on that field last night, knowing what we had and know what we could do, regardless of what the weather, you know, what the outcome of the weather is.
Yeah, Coach, you know, unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to hear or see the game. So just talk a little bit about what your preparation for Caledonia was and, you know, how accurate your buildup was. Obviously, you know, it was a pretty dominating performance. What were the things that you were concerned about and, you know, were able to attack and address?
Well, one, you know, going in, we heard from a lot of coaches down there and guys that have played them, you know, how strong their defensive line was, you know, and how strong their defensive front was. And so, you know, we watched a lot of film and we were preparing for that. And, you know, I think that was, it was great for our kids to hear that all week long, like how good they were up front and how good these, you know, they had the Fair State, big defensive lineman, offensive lineman, and, you know, they got some all-region kids down there, D-line. And, you know, I think, That's a challenge. It also, you know, kind of pumps your kids up,
right?
You know, to be prepared for that and almost prove, you know, that we got a pretty good offensive line ourselves and, you know, we can pretty much, you know, try to handle that challenge. And I think our guys did. And certainly on the other side of the ball, you know, a talented quarterback, dual track quarterback and running back and, try to keep them at bay. And, you know, it's just a challenge to our defense all week long to do that. So, I mean, I think they scored one offensive touchdown against our defense. You know, they scooped up a fumble and scored it on defense themselves. But other than that, we held them to one touchdown. So I'm pretty pleased with how our defense played. And our offense, we had some penalties in that game too. So we left some points on the field. You know, we're a high potent offense. You know that. And, we left some points on the field out there. So I'm really proud of how our guys executed in that environment.
Yeah, Coach, and knowing, like you said, what kind of team Caledonia was, their only loss was to the number one team in Rockford, yeah. And you know, that's a team that's used to scoring a lot of points. They play a tough conference, and again, I said it earlier, but you guys really represented Northern Michigan real well.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I mean, I appreciate that. It's great to have a community support. Our players appreciate that, and they understand that too, and they're just excited to keep moving on.
Coach, one last question for you. Obviously, Berto had a fantastic mm-hmm. game. Was it kind of the game plan to have Berto take a little bit more of the burden? Because obviously you'd imagine that Caledonia was going to really focus on Josh Burnham.
Well, it's funny. I asked Josh last night, I go, how's it feel? How do you feel right now after? And I joked around like, you know, carrying the ball 29 times like he did last night. So when you talk about Bordeaux, yeah, Bordeaux makes plays on defense and special teams. So, you know, he had, like I said, interception.
Yep.
And he had that kick return for us. And he was, like, we responded, you know, after they recovered a fumble and scooped it in. It was 21-7. And we got up 21-0 on him, but it was 21-7. And we responded right back. Bordeaux took that kick return, made it 28-7, and we pretty much never looked back from there. It wasn't close after that point. So I'm just, the way our kids respond to having that little bit of adversity, that just shows kind of the moxie and the maturity of this team.
Yeah, Coach, and that's, you know, that's what you love to do. You come out, you punch the team right in the mouth, you see how they're going to respond, and you guys took charge early and just kind of cruised into victory. So, again, congratulations, and really looking forward to talking to you next week, Coach, after hopefully a big win against South Lyon.
Yeah, guys, I hope we can keep doing this. You know, it's a great thing to be talking to you guys after a win. And, you know, one at a time, and we're back to another week. We've earned another week. We've earned another Monday, and great week to get together. And, you know, we want to be 1-0 at the end of next Saturday.
Absolutely. One of the great things about just steamrolling on your way to Ford Field, Coach Eric Sugars from the victorious Traverse City Central Trojans. Go Trojans!
Go Trojans!
Hey, I appreciate you guys. Love the support of high school football, and you bet. Go Trojans.
All right.
All right.
Head coach Eric Sugars after a big win last night down in the Snow Bowl.
You think he's a little happy?
Oh, I think he's just a little. He was chomping on the bit before we even went on the air. He was ready.
Yeah. I don't know what time they got home, but, you know, I've been on some of those. I've been on both sides of those bus rides, Rich, as
yeah.
you have been as well.
Right.
And there's nothing worse.
Oh.
Nothing worse than having to take a long bus ride home, regardless of how you lose.
Right. Oh, yeah. A loss is like, it's silent.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like no talk. There's nothing. You just keep replaying the game in your mind.
Yeah.
What could have I done more? What could have I done this here? And then to be on the winning side of it, it's just electric. It's so much fun.
Well, we've seen this team. This is a very good football team. I don't know anything about South Lyon other than it's a really big school.
Right.
I can't think of it as a tradition-rich.
Right. I've looked in the past. They've had some good. They've 8-2, 10-1 in the last 3 or 4 years. So they've had good records. But they've come up short in either the first or second round of the playoffs most years. And so, like you said, it's not a Brother Rice, a Catholic Central, a team like that that you just, once you mention those words, they have a tradition-rich program. And so they play in a different conference there, a very suburbial conference. They don't play any of the Detroit Kings or the River Rouges or any of those type teams. It's a very heavy suburban oriented is their schedule, as I checked it out last
year.
Yeah,
Wald Lake Western, Wald Lake Central, yeah. They beat Country Day 31-7. That's a pretty good program.
Yep.
Wald Lake Northern, they rolled, and that's usually a pretty good football team.
Yep.
Schwartz Creek is usually a really good team. They rolled. They killed people other than Portage Central.
Mm-hmm.
That game went into overtime, but everything else has been. They've handled their business pretty well, Rich.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I don't think it's going to be a pillow fight.
No, not at all. And as Coach Figures mentioned, they're going to absolutely just focus on those guys, take care of business. It's by all appearance, this team is focused on each and every game. They're not looking past anybody. So this Trojan team, Eric Shiggers, is doing a great job. He knew he had a good team coming into it. And sometimes the pressure of that, it's hard to get 17, 18-year-old kids to focus on the opponent each and every week, but they're doing that.
There's a pretty disturbing story in the paper about the game against East Lansing the week before that, that was played at South Lyon, and the East Lansing players and families were subjected to a lot of obscenities and racial slurs.
Oh, geez.
From the South Lyon High School fan.
Oh, man.
Yeah. As the anthem played, somebody in the South Lyon crowds to stand up, you blankety blank blanks. They've got some video of it. So,
okay, yeah. Never good at high school games.
That's too bad.
It is too bad.
Yeah.
For sure. I think a lot of people love high school sports for kind of the purity of the game. The kid, you know what I mean? It's about the kids. It's all about that. And unfortunately, some of those life things creep into even the high school realm.
East Lansing coaching staff sent video to the MHSAA. East Lansing players kicked and punched in the head after plays.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was a real big scene down there.
Right.
I don't want to make any snap judgments. I'm just reporting the news.
Right,
the,
yeah.
But this is a very lengthy article. South Lyon High School Athletic Director did not respond to comment.
And that where was that written at, JC?
Scroll back up. Does not say what paper this
right.
is in, Rich. I'm
but
sorry.
No, but it's in print newspaper.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's
that's...
a pretty lengthy article. So,
wow. No. That is disturbing, for
yeah.
sure. No question about it.
So we'll see what happens when they travel to a neutral site.
Right.
Hopefully we get more information about this South Lyon team, and then we'll sketch it out on Friday's high school sportscape that's presented to us by our good friends at Pick and Sons, which we need.
We do. We do, yes. And again, we thank Pick and Sons for they're very supportive of high school sports and have been for a long time.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And a big thanks to our good friends at Bill Marsh Auto Group
for Saturday's show.
This particular show, we're going to head to a break, and then we'll give you a rundown of all the scores and happenings of what happened in the other divisions as we march towards Ford Field. And Rich is giddy.
That's right. It is. This is my time of year.
All right. We'll be back after these words on the Bill Morse High School Scoreboard Show on Up North Sports Radio.
All right, welcome back to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show, presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. Rich Calkins and Jerry Coyne, the birthday boy, in here on Saturday morning.
Hardly a boy. He's more like boy, oh boy.
Oh boy. Yeah. But we're going to go through some of the scores now that took place, obviously, last night, and there's still almost half the games are yet to be played today, especially in Northern Michigan. We have a few games to...
Unfortunately, I mean, the thing we'd like to focus on, we've had Coach Cody Mallory on the show a number of times, Rich. Unfortunately, the Vikings couldn't keep up that momentum.
Right.
And sounded like a much closer game than the score indicated.
It was. It was a one-score game going in at the half, and Cadillac had been playing well, battling back and forth. But then Tri-Unity Christian came out and scored 31 unanswered points in that second half, and that offense got rolling. I'm sure there were turnovers, and they played in a snowy conditions as well. And so whenever, you know, you turn the ball over, things like that, and give the opposing team short fields, they're gonna make you pay for it.
Well, we keep talking about it, and turnovers are the number one determining factor in any game, high school, college, or pro. And it sounds like also from the article that they also couldn't convert a couple times on fourth down.
Right. Early, I think the very first possession, they marched down. They were down in the goal, near the goal line, had a fourth down play, couldn't punch it in, and then kind of set the tone for the rest of the game.
Yeah,
but
you're seeing that a lot in across the football landscape in college and pro. You know, teams with long, sustained drives and then, you know, forgoing a field goal.
Yes.
And getting turned away. It's happening, you know, as analytics gets ramped up.
Yes.
But it's still a coin flip as far as I'm concerned. Execution and...
It is, exactly. Absolutely right. It's noticeable how many more teams are being aggressive and going for it on fourth down, like you said, across all of football. So.
I mean, you did all the Traverse City West games. That's a hallmark of that team.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Yeah, they would go for it, backed up in their own territory at times. I mean, they were absolutely super. Greg Vaughn was super aggressive in his coaching philosophy. So, in some D1 action that took place last night, some of these teams, Jerry, you're very familiar with, and Rochester Adams and West Bloomfield really battled in a close game.
That was the Bally's game. I watched a lot of it. They had played in the first game of the year, and Adams rolled West Bloomfield. That's why West Bloomfield was flying under the radar the whole rest of the season.
Right.
Then they beat a CC team
I was really impressed with. Yeah, a real good dual threat quarterback, and so for them to win. But then Rochester Adams won 14-13 last night, and you said what was it?
They turned away a 2-point conversion early in the fourth quarter, and then made it hold up. As I said, the two teams that were very familiar with each other and run the same type of offensive set. So when they run that veer option, you plan on a lot of big gouge plays. There was hardly any of those all night long. They didn't play in snow down there, but it was a slugfest.
Sure. And then in the other game played last night, Sterling Heights Stevenson beat Macomb Dakota 27-20.
Sterling Heights Stevenson, that Macomb Dakota team's had some runs to a Ford Field in the last few years.
Right.
I don't remember Sterling Heights Stevenson having a Sterling football program, no pun intended.
Right.
But they're going to play Rochester Adams in the battle of some big suburban squads. Right. Down in the metropolitan Detroit area.
And there's a couple of games today that are going to be good ones as
We'll talk about those in the next the games coming up in the schedule. Let's go through the results.
The results, Division 2 here. There were three games played, three of the four. Obviously, we started off with Traverse City Central with a big 42-14 win. South Lyon won in overtime again. TC Central's opponent next week. They won 29-23 over Portage Central. So close game there. And Livonia Franklin all over Waterford Mott, 43-26.
Yeah, so there's one game left there. We'll go over that, and we'll find out who Livonia Franklin's going to take on in the semifinals. As we mentioned, South Lyon not having a reputation as a football power, but they've rolled everybody other than this game that they made had against Portage Central. So, as Coach Eric Sugar said, they won't be taking them lightly.
No, not at all.
Yep.
In Division III, three games were played last night as well. St. Joseph smoked Parma Western 49-13. Also, in what may be a little bit of a surprise, Mason beat your alma mater, JC, 20-17 as they beat Birmingham Brother Rice.
Yeah, you know, it's a Brother Rice team that's been playing with their third-string quarterback. A lot of people liked Rice here for, based on reputation. And,
sure.
And I didn't know anything about Mason. So, unfortunately, obviously a close football game. But Mason's going to move on and play a St. Joe team that...
very interesting. And a team certainly everybody is familiar with, Detroit Martin Luther King. They won big over Allen Park 28-7.
Yeah, King, just a lethal football powerhouse that's sending kids to Michigan and Michigan State year in and year out.
Exactly.
I will talk about their upcoming opponent here in a minute. D4...
All four games were played last night. I think it's the only division in which that happened. We talked about the Cadillac game, Hudsonville Unity Christian. They won 53-22 over Cadillac. Again, a one-score game at halftime. And then Unity Christian just rolled on from there. Edwardsburg, they beat Grand Rapids South Christian 28-14. Freeland over Croswell Lexington 42-22. And Chelsea beat Detroit Country Day 27-20.
Yeah, the defending state champions in Division IV, they had lost a lot of kids and managed to get to the regionals, but Chelsea held them down, and so they're going to play Edwardsburg, and Freeland's going to play Hudson Unity Christian in the matchup to see who's going to go to Ford Field. D5, Rich.
Yeah, in D5, we had three games played last night. Grand Rapids Catholic Central, they continue to march on. They beat a good Muskegon Oak Ridge team 25-6. In a shutout, Portland all over Kalamazoo Hackett Catholic 21-0. And in a close game, Marine City beat Corona 21-14.
Yeah, we'll find out who the other team's playing today to round out those teams playing in the semis. Just one game played in the D7. We know who's playing in those other games coming up.
Right, yeah, this one, we'll do D6 first, and then Michigan Center, 27 over Clinton.
Oh, didn't see the D6 scores.
Yeah, 27-14. So like you said, in all those, including Standish Sterling, they play Calumet today. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Now, in some Division 7 action, like you said, one game played there. Lawton, all over Muskegon Catholic Central, 41-22.
That's a pretty good program, that Muskegon Catholic Central, so kudos to Lawton.
Yeah, again, some of these teams I have not heard of before.
No.
And making, obviously, great deep runs here, so congratulations to them. And in Division 8, of course, there were three games, three of the four were played, including Beale City. Down here just in the central Michigan area, they beat Carson City Crystal 34-14. Ubley, they continue to rock and roll as they were all over Breckenridge 65-6. And in a the Fighting Ewes, absolutely. how about this for a low scoring defensive battle? Hudson beat White Pigeon 8-0. So all defense last night.
There you go. Dick Butkus was happy with that game.
He was. And eight player, we had one game played in Division I, and Adrian Lenaway Christian, I believe they're the defending champs in that division, they won 36-14 over Martin. And in the Division II, both games will be played today.
All right. So when we return here on the Bill Marsh High School Scoreboard Show, we'll talk about the upcoming slate of games that will be played today, featuring a number of our local teams. And then we're going to get into a couple other sports here, Rich. You got volleyball, regionals, they were into quarterfinals for volleyball. We'll go over some of those. And the Record Eagle announced some of their all-league teams. We thought we'd give some volleyball players and some cross-country people a quick shout-out.
Yeah, why not? Give them some love.
All right, we'll be back after these words on Up North Sports Radio.
All right, welcome back to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. Rich Calkins, Jerry Coyne in studio with you. And as JC mentioned before we went to break, we're going to go over some of the games now throughout Michigan as, again, we are concentrate heavily on high school football here, but we will get into some other sports a little bit later on. There's only one game, or no, there's two games to be played in Division I today. The big one is the Grand Blanc at Rockford game. Both teams undefeated. 84 playoff points for Rockford, 81 for Grand Blanc.
That's on Bally Sports today.
That is going to be a great game.
Yep.
I'm driving.
You don't want to watch the Michigan game.
Yeah, exactly. So, and one other game in Division I as well. Dearborn Fordson taking on Belleville.
Yeah, that's two storied programs. That should be another really good football game.
Absolutely. And as we look at Division II here, only one game yet to be played today, and that's a 7-4 Roseville team as they take on De La Salle. Warren De La Salle.
Good luck with that.
Yes. Here's the difference in there. Roseville has 50 playoff points. Warren De La Salle has 80.
Yes.
So, I think, again, Warren De La Salle, again, nothing more needs to be said, but they've been exceptional for a long time.
Yeah, they've been the cream of the Catholic League for a while now, even supplanting Brother Rice and Catholic Central in the last few years.
Right. One game to be played in Division III. Cedar Springs at 9-2 gets the tough task of taking on DeWitt. It's going to be played at Grand Ledge High School. 76 playoff points for DeWitt, 58 for Cedar Springs. Certainly DeWitt has to be the favorite in that one. So Division IV, as I mentioned earlier, all the games, all four games were played last night. In Division V, we've got one game yet to be played, and of course that features a local team, Kingsley. They travel down to Frankenmuth as they take on them at 1 o'clock today. Going into this game, Kingsley had 48 playoff points, and a tough Frankenmuth team. They're 11-0. They have 62 playoff points. But the Stags wish them all the best as they travel again down to Frankenmuth, and at least we'll get a good chicken dinner out of it no matter what. All right, Division 6, three games to be played today. As Calumet has traveled down and they take on Standish Sterling. That's, talk about a bus ride. The Keweenaw Peninsula all the way down to Standish. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's, you know, we have a little familiarity with that, with Grayling having to play way deep into the UP. So they're lucky that the game was on Saturday, not Friday.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Calumet goes into this game at 9-2 with 37 playoff points. Standish Sterling, obviously hosting this game, they also are at 9-2. They have 44 playoff points. Some other names that are very familiar in Division VI, Montague, as they continue to roll, but they've got to take on a Lansing Catholic team that is very tough this year. They're 10-1, and again, that's going to be played at Lansing Catholic at 1 o'clock here today. In the final game in Division VI, Ecorse takes on Warren Michigan Collegiate. So that's obviously one of those private schools that's going to be played at Madison Heights. So in Division 7, moving along, there's going to be a game at Thurlby Field at 1 o'clock as the Traverse City St. Francis, as they host Ishpeming Westwood. Westwood 10-1 on the year, 43 playoff points. TC St. Francis, they have 56 playoff points. So one other game to be played, Elkton Pigeon Bayport, as they travel on, take on a very good Pawama Westphalia. They're 11-0, 49 playoff points. This Westphalia team, I've heard, is very good, going to be played down at Westphalia. So, and in Division 8, one game to be played, Clarkston Everest Collegiate takes on Ottawa Lake Whiteford. That's Jay Mensing coaches this Ottawa Lake team. I said about a couple of weeks ago. Coached at Grayling for 1 year, turned that program around, and has went on and done great things. He won a state championship there just a couple of years ago. And in some of the eight-player divisions, one game, Rudyard from the eastern part of the UP takes on Sutton's Bay. Today, that's kickoff at 2 o'clock at Sutton's Bay. So Sutton's Bay, obviously the favorite in that one. Rudyard, though, has had a very good year. And let's see if there's any games here in Division Two. Yeah, both games yet to be played in Division Two of the eight. Marion takes on a Powers North Central team, and Cologne takes on Augrey Sims as they travel there to take them on in the Thumb area.
Yep, so a lot of action still to determine who's going to end up one step away from state championships, Rich. So you've got your options. That if you haven't seen St. Francis play, you might want to head over to Thurlby Field. They are a team on a mission.
They are, yeah. They are the real deal. Traditionally, St. Francis runs that full house backfield. They, you know, do a lot of that. But, man, they have a quarterback that can throw the ball. He's a left-hander. The kid's a really good dual-threat quarterback, so they have weapons all over the place. But you're absolutely right, JC. This St. Francis team certainly on a mission.
Yeah, and of course, you mentioned that Kingsley is playing at Frankfurt, or Frankenmuth, excuse me.
Yep.
The what was the separation in playoff points? Wasn't very much, was it?
I think there was about 12 or so, JC.
Okay.
I'll have to pull that back up here again. But, it was, let me see. Helps if I get to the right division here. Here we go. Kingsley, they're at 48 playoff points. Frankenmuth, they have 62.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, so there is a fairly big discrepancy there between the two.
Well, this Kingsley team, only one loss on the year against St. Francis.
Yes.
So I'm surprised they have that few playoff points.
Right. It is shocking. They are a Division 5 team, though, so they're, with St. Francis being a Division 7.
Yeah.
So, right, that all comes into play. They beat, in a close game, Division 6 Grayling. They're at Kingsley in a very hard-fought game. That was a good one.
Yeah, they do have to play some teams that are down in division and cost you a lot of points.
It does, yeah. Yes. With this new formula, the tougher the schedule, the bigger the schools, the better off it serves you. Again, there were 3- and 4- win teams that made it into the playoffs this year, which would have never happened in years past.
Right. Yeah, I was talking to a football dad from Gaylord. Mm-hmm. And a lot of teams want to schedule Gaylord because they're a
big school.
And they don't look like they have a great program. So,
but they're up and coming. Their numbers were very good at the freshman JV level, so that was good. Yes, they didn't have a lot of numbers at the varsity level, but again, that's a team with them going out of the Big North Conference now and just kind of doing their own thing for a year until they're going to maybe apply to get into another conference, whether it's the Northern Michigan Football League or whatever, but those, four teams that the Alpena, Gaylord, Petoskey teams, and Cadillac, they're all...
That's funny that you bring that up, and we've talked about it on and off for a while now about... Now there's some discrepancy whether they were actually voted out or however, stories floating around either way. But the really interesting thing, Rich, is that, Central and West were really heavily senior-laden teams.
Both.
So we will see. Obviously Central still playing, and they're relying heavily on their seniors. So did West. So I was talking to these dads in Gaylord, and I'm like, well, maybe you didn't want to kick them out next year. It would be your opportunity to beat these guys.
Exactly. No, that's very true. And in some of the things behind the scenes, and I mentioned it one other time too, is the athletic. They took a vote initially with all the athletic directors and they had accepted them to come into the Northern Michigan Football League. Well, then they took a final vote that included all the superintendents involved, and then that's when things changed, and they put the kibosh to it. So it's kind of interesting, some of those dynamics behind the scenes as to what was going on.
Yeah, well, obviously superintendents have a different way of looking at things as opposed to athletic directors and coaches do. Ultimately, it's probably the right thing to do to have Central and West out of those other schools.
because they just have a better class of athlete, it seems like.
Sure.
But next year will be very interesting to see what those two teams look like on a football basis, because the basketball is staying the same.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. They're going to stay in that Big North League. This is a football-only transition, so, yeah, no doubt about it, JC. If they go down to the Saginaw Valley League,
yep. It
will be playing the Midlands, the Saginaws, the teams like that, Mount Pleasant. So, no, it will be definitely interesting for sure.
Yep. When we return here on the Bill Marsh High School Scoreboard Show, we're going to talk a little bit about the volleyball as volleyball season starts to wrap up. We've got some all-conference teams that we want to give some love to, and the same thing for cross-country. I know cross-country is over now.
Yeah.
I don't know if we want to talk about, you heard about the kid that came in second.
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, he was screaming expletives as he crossed the finish line.
Well, he was screaming them at themselves, like, I bleep and did it.
Right.
And they disqualified the kid.
Yes.
Strange story.
It is. It absolutely is. Yeah, we could get into that a little bit. It's an interesting dynamic for sure.
we'll be back up here on Up North Sports Radio.
Welcome back to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show, presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. Rich Calkins, Jerry Coyne in studio with you. And also, we are joining us here for our last segment is Harrison Beebe, sports guru in Northern Michigan. And Harrison, Traverse City Central continues to roll as they played a good Caledonia team. And they just came out with all cylinders firing and took over that game early.
Yeah, I think Traverse City Central is actually the reason it started snowing down there. I think that kind of energy just brought a little bit of inclement weather. And, I don't know if you guys watched the stream of the game at all or the highlights, but Caledonia, especially if you were watching, I watched the MHSA TV stream, Caledonia had no response. Central just looked completely comfortable playing in those conditions, and Caledonia looked like that team that's just, oh, wait, there's something other than the other team changing the way this game is being played. That's not good for us, and Central played that way, going up 35-7 at the half and cruising to that regional. I mean, for a Caledonia team that we were kind of debating yesterday at this time, how good were they?
Right.
They did not show that last night, despite the, you know, ideal conditions of the weather being taken away from them.
Yeah, I saw your highlight show last night there, Harrison, and Carson Bordeaux really had a big-time game with an INT, a kick return for a touchdown. Certainly the snow did not slow him down from playing well.
No, and you can see in those highlights, you know, the Caledonia players are trying, but they cannot corral that guy, and whether it was slippery or just the footing, whatnot, I mean, he was one of the, and Josh Burnham, I think, had at least 4 touchdowns in that one, so obviously he did what he does. But yeah, it's easy for other teams to forget about Bordeaux because he's not a Division I football commit, but he's, in a way, just as dangerous on the football field, and now that's going to be South Lyons' problem to try and solve next Saturday.
Right, for sure. Yeah, we had Coach Eric Sugars on earlier, Harrison, and don't know officially where that game is going to be played yet. Kind of hoping for Mount Pleasant on our end here, maybe the Lansing area, whatever, but they tend to choose a neutral site, obviously, into the semifinals. But anyway, I doubt they'll have the same weather conditions they had on Friday, but we'll see. But just
could be worse.
Yeah, you don't know. But
yeah.
But it's a team that just absolutely all year they've played really one bad half of football, and that was in their very first game of the year against DeWitt. Since that time, they have played the most consistent football throughout the entire year.
Yeah, definitely. And that's, you know, I brought up in the Kingsley St. Francis game with you guys. I think a loss in regular season it can be a good thing. Showing you what you think you can accomplish and then kind of taking that away from you and really putting that carrot back in front of you and giving you something to work for, that if you're an undefeated team, you don't really know like what that a loss feels like and how a game that you felt was obtainable just slipped away from you. And I think that's what that DeWitt game gave to these guys. And now even more than the DeWitt game, I bet you they're going to hone in on that Mona Shores loss last year in the semis, and that's going to be their sole focus this week. So you got a Traverse City Central team that's been to the state finals before when they were one big giant school, but they've never been to two Final Fours before until now, as we were talking about yesterday on the show as well. So history in the making for that program, and you get the vibe like they're not done yet.
No, when they have an offensive line like they've got, and maybe the best player in the state, that's a team to be reckoned with. We talked to Coach Eric Sugars for a while this morning, and I think those guys have their eyes firmly on the prize.
Yeah, and the South Lyon game should be pretty interesting. I caught the tail end of their game with Portage Central. They almost dropped that game at home last night. Portage Central went ahead a touchdown in the fourth quarter. But South Lyon drove down the field, got a touchdown in the final minute, got a two-point conversion, forced overtime, and then took that momentum and won that game at home. But they didn't have any snow or any extracurricular elements to that game. So South Lyon got tested, and take that for what you will, for next week, for 7 days from now. South Lyon got a close in-the-trenches ball game last night. Central had kind of a cruised victory. I don't know if that's going to play a big factor in who really comes out on top next week, but I think most importantly, it shows teams like Central and everybody in the state that, hey, these Detroit area teams that are, I believe South Lyon is, ranked number two in the state, might even be number one in Division Two. I don't know. I'm blanking on the Division Two polls, but they're right up there as well as Caledonia. It shows they can be beat and, they're prone to getting defeated, and especially on a neutral site. Yeah, we're hoping that game's right around the middle of the state. We actually might have two Traverse City football teams playing right in the middle of the state in semifinals next week, which would be pretty interesting.
Okay, yeah. And Harrison, looking forward to today's game. You know, Kingsley, they've got a really tough game as they're going to travel down to Frankenmuth and take on undefeated team there, and should be really a great game, as we know Coach Tim Wooer will have his team ready.
Yeah, you know, Tim obviously has led the Stags to a state title before, so the tough opponents probably on the road are no stranger to him. And, you know, I was there 2 years ago when they lost to Lansing Catholic in the semifinals, and they were right in that game for a while. So, you know, a road game or a downstate game with those type of implications and potential up for grabs, you know, that doesn't intimidate him. And I know that doesn't – I mean, it's still just surreal for me to look back at what this Kingsley program looked like 4 years, right before Tim came back, and just how they were struggling for wins. And then he turned it on immediately, and not only did he turn it on, but he's kept it consistent this whole time. You know, they didn't win the regional last year, or excuse me, the district last year because of the COVID forfeiture issues on their team, but I'd like to think they would have, so this would have been four straight district titles for that team. And, you know, they're unstoppable is a way to put it up north. Obviously, St. Francis put a stop to them, but who's to say St. Francis doesn't enter that Division V tournament field and also do the same amount of damage that Kingsley does. So we'll have to wait and see. Frankenmuth made the finals a year ago, so that's, and I'm sure they've got some holdover pieces from that. And I'm sure they're cooking up the chicken down there in Frankenmuth for a pregame meal before they get the kickoff going. But if there's anybody from Northern Michigan that we want to put in a fight in a downstate matchup like that, I can't nominate Kingsley at the top of the list.
Yeah, no question. And real quick, Harrison, talk briefly about the Traverse City St. Francis hosting a game at 1 o'clock here at Thurlby Field against Ishpeming Westwood.
Yeah, what are we going to see from Westwood? We kind of know what we're going to see from St. Francis, but we know Ishpeming Westwood has defeated two of our area teams so far this playoff. A close game with Charlevoix a week ago. What team is going to get off that bus and take on St. Francis? Is it going to be a team that really kind of gives them a challenge, or is St. Francis looking at another similar blowaway win? Which, if you ask me, if I'm a St. Francis team that wants to get ready for one of the best teams in the state next week, if that's what happens, I want a Westwood team that's doing whatever it takes to get a win today. So I'm kind of hoping that those guys have brought their best to that field so they can get a real test. And, you know, whether you risk, you know, a potential upset or not, you want to play in those competitive games where you challenge your team to reach those certain heights and roll that over then if you get the win into the dream matchup we all want next week with Forman Westphalia.
All right, Harrison Beebe from 7-4 Sports. Really appreciate it. Looking forward to your report later today, and appreciate you joining us on the Bill Marsh Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Crazy to think down to like five here, but it's down to gritty.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, Harrison.
Yep. Have a good weekend, guys.
All right. Harrison Beebe right there from 7 and 4 does a great job.
Natalie Quaffed, Harrison Beebe.
Yes, absolutely. And we do have a hard out here today for the pregame show for Michigan. But briefly, did you want me to mention some of the cross-country runners or volleyball?
Yeah, we had volleyball and cross-country. All regional teams are out. And thought we'd give some of our other athletes just a touch of love.
Yep. In the girls cross country, real quick, the first team, Miley Kelly from Benzie Central, McKenna Scott from Glen Lake, Aiden Heron from Buckley, Elsie Johnson from Benzie Central, Lauren Wooer from Kingsley, maybe a relative
like
of Coach Wooer, absolutely, and Taylor Myers from Frankfurt. Obviously, Benzie Central, again, really dominant. Again, these are the all Northwest Conference teams that we're mentioning. In the boys' first team, Hunter Jones continues. He's the junior. He's won three state titles, three consecutive years. This kid's an elite, elite talent who can run nationally with anybody. So, also, Michael Musgrave of Benzie Central, Dade Allen from Benzie, Skylar Worden from Frankfurt, Jackson Kovolvik from Buckley, Ben Dicini from Buckley, and Adam Townsend from Frankfurt. So
congratulations. Things. That's a lot of work.
Oh,
cross country, I never completely understood it, but I always took my hats off to the dedication and, you know, the loneliness of the long-distance runner, Rich.
Oh, absolutely, because it's so tough. I mean, it's just that is one of the most dedicated sports, that and wrestling. You have to have so much self-discipline, it's crazy.
Swimming as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. Yep.
So. And you've got some volleyball stuff. I mean, let's give some love to the ladies.
Yes, absolutely. First team, Angel Zulik from Kingsley, Alexis Luce from Leland, Sophie Wasinski from Onekama, Grace Bradford from Glen Lake, Layla Vang from North Bay, Carol Bott from Kingsley, and Lexi Scudder from Kingsley as well were the first team.
All right. We will be back here next Saturday to go over the results of what happens next Friday and the march to Ford Field as well as some other sports. We're going to have some coaches in for some their seasonal wrap-ups. Of course, Rich and I will talk about all of this stuff in the Fick and Sons Sportscape show on Fridays at 11 o'clock as well.
Yep, looking forward to it, JC. Thanks for tuning in. You're going to go right to the Michigan pregame show as they have a big game against Penn State.
And thanks to Bill Marsh for presenting a Go Blue, a Go Trojans.
That's right.